Don't be afraid to ask questions. You realize that people are more generous with their time than you think they are. And people are more generous with their knowledge too. All you have to do is ask that you don't know. Because a lot of people love mentoring the new people, the new generation.
All right, we are live. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the podcast where we dive in on relationships, love, lust, dating, science, philosophy, psychology, and so much more. We're also on iTunes, so make sure to leave us a review on there if that's where you're listening from. Spotify gets our updates too, so hit us up there. Or if you're watching here on YouTube, then hit that subscribe button, hit that bell button so you get automatic updates. You don't have to search for another episode again. There's no fee to watch the show other than tell your friend about the show, all right? We're going to give useful advice on and tools on this show. So we're going to share a bunch of stories. And with that being said, let's welcome our guest today. It's amazing where we met, and we're going to get into that. But he's a real estate investor from the San Francisco Bay Area. He's also the host of Crushing It in Real Estate podcast and the founder of the Asian Hustle Network. That's where we met. But he's up to really inspirational things, and I'm thankful to have him on the show. So, man, it's hard to keep up with you. Where are you right now? Are you in California or?
Yeah, I'm always traveling. So I just got back from LA a couple days ago. And before that, I was in New York and DC. I'm traveling a lot, and then Thursday I'm going to London.
London, England.
Yeah, London, England.
Oh man,
meet a lot of good people.
Yeah, no, that's dope, man. Like, I follow you on social media. I try to interact with it as much as I can. But I do see you traveling everywhere, and it's probably an exciting time for you, man. I'm really, really pumped for this episode because it's gonna be a breakdown of everything that you've been going through. So, but let's start a little bit like at the beginning. Like, where did you grow up? Like, were you always in the Bay Area, or how did that start out?
Definitely. So I grew up in San Gabriel Valley. It's in a suburb of LA. I would call it, it's super, we're in our own bubble, you know, like growing up is really sheltered. You don't really meet that many people that want to do a lot of ambitious things. And I didn't have that thought until I went to college, you know, and from my upbringing is very humble because my parents left the Vietnam War and we didn't have much. Everyone I was surrounded with is just like me. You know, we had a lot of hand-me-downs from our parents, from our relatives. We never really had any new clothes or eat out pretty often. It wasn't until I came to college that I'm just like, wow, like there's so much more out there that I don't know about, you know? And growing up, I used to treasure eating at Denny's because my parents would never eat out and we never had any money. So it was just like, okay. So that's where I grew up, LA area.
That's dope. I always wanted to go down there. I mean, and I was just curious, like, did your parents have a choice, like where they wanted to go? Like, I mean, you said they, you know, invaded Vietnam during the war. I mean, did they have a choice where to go, or they was just LA was kind of like the stomping grounds for you guys?
So when my parents left Vietnam, my parents were debating whether or not to raise me in Australia. That's where my mom's uncle was at. But my dad's like, no, we have to go to America. That's where the opportunity is at. That's where our kids are gonna be more successful. And when they first moved to the United States, they went over to Washington, D.C. But where my mom grew up in Vietnam is very close to how LA is. She's very homesick all the time in DC. She's like, it's so cold here. It's nothing to do. There's no beaches. And she's like, I heard of this great place I've never been to before called Los Angeles. It reminds me of my house. And out of the blue, my parents made their way to LA through hitchhiking and driving, all that fun stuff. Literally, like, get to LA.
That's crazy.
You know? Because my mom's like, I heard this place reminds me of home. We had to go there. And then they found their way over to California.
That is like a candy bar and a gum wrapper story right there.
Yeah.
So there's like so much to dive deep on that one. But I mean,
exactly.
That's for another podcast. But I'm curious, like, did your did you have a typical Asian upbringing? So like the mom, like, so in my household, like my mom stayed at home, my dad usually worked, but you know, we had a business too, so like my mom did have to step up a little bit, but she was more the caregiver, the primary caregiver in the home. Mm-hmm. So like, I was wondering if you had that same structure or how was it like growing up for you?
Very similar structure, similar to yourself. My parents started a business together. So I kind of saw their relationship and how they worked together. that kind of led the way for my own inspiration with working together with Maggie, but we'll dive deeper into that later.
Yeah, for sure. I want to touch on that just in a little bit, but so what got you into real estate? Like you said, you didn't really realize things until after college. So what did you go to college for, actually? Like, what did you study, and then like why did you get into real estate afterwards?
Oh man, I studied a lot of things in college. It's a political science, econ, and computer science. So it's triple major.
Holy shit, man. So overachiever for sure. I mean, like your parents obviously push that. Like, I mean, Asian parents always push you. Nothing is ever good enough for Asian parents. And so I can see where that drive came from. So cool. Like you're very, very well versed. That has nothing to do, well, except for maybe e-com. I guess they all kind of have a relation to real estate. But why that route? Why that
specific? It's rooted back to how my parents felt about money and investing. Growing up, they always treat real estate investing and stock investing as gambling. We were never encouraged to do it. And we were very humble. You know, I had 5 siblings in one two-bedroom, one-bath house. We were sharing that the whole time. And to me, that's all my parents knew, like just being very comfortable. It wasn't until I got to college that I started hanging out with friends who come from more wealthy backgrounds. That helped me understood that, you know, the way to make it to their level and their parents' level is through real estate investing. So that kind of planted a seed in my head that I need to get into this field and learn as much as I can about how money works. Mm-hmm. I dove a lot into books, reading everything that I could understand, like about the stock market and real estate. But it wasn't until I moved out to the Bay Area around 4 or 5 years ago that I realized that, you know, real estate is a great thing to get into. And originally I was super scared because like I got into the most expensive real estate market in the United States
as
started out, you know?
Yeah. San Francisco got the highest average cost per home, right?
Yeah. When I moved up to the Bay, I moved into this guy's house at the same time he was learning how to do real estate. And then he turns to me and he's like, "Hey, bro, do you want to do real estate with me?" We have to keep in mind that at this time, him and I just broke up from our 5-year relationship from our ex-girlfriends, like literally like the same week. And we're just like, you know what? We have so much free time. Let's get into real estate, you know?
That's hilarious.
We went out to every single real estate meetup we can find to learn as much as we can.
That's dope, man. That's a crazy story too. And so, you know, shout out to your homie that decided that he was going to do that venture with you. That's amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. It's great to find partners and buddies like that who you can really trust and go into business with. So that's important. Dope, man. So now you host like your own real estate meetups, right? Like you do all that. Like you were doing all this before on, right? Like before AHM. Like
yeah, that's right.
You were hosting these events before all that. So like, mm-hmm. You know, how did that impact, like, okay, so before I even ask you that, mm-hmm. Let's just say there's a listener listening in right now and he's like, "Man, real estate sounds pretty cool. I don't know where to even begin. Like, where do you suggest them going?" And I kind of alluded to the answer there, but I mean,
yeah,
like, where do you think they should start out? Like,
yeah, they should definitely start out by going to meetup.com and finding every single real estate meetup in their area and attending them. And not just that, they should read books on real estate investing, like 1 or 2 books. And then listen to podcasts on Bigger Pockets. You know, that really helped me a lot. When I first started out, I listened to every single podcast I can get my hands on. It's not because, it's mainly because I wanted to learn a lot more. And it's more importantly that I learned the terminology to use in real estate. Because the more people I met at the real estate meetup, they kept using terms I never understood before. What's IRR, ROI, and all these real estate terms that I didn't know what they meant. Until I started listening to Bigger Pockets, and I started using the forums to ask questions. And when I involved myself in these conversations with these real estate meetups, like I started to understand like what they meant, what they mean, what should I do. And for me, I'm pretty pretty shameless, where I would, if I don't understand anything, I would just ask a question regardless of like how newbie that question is. I remember one of the first questions I ever asked is, what is equity? I don't know what equity is. And then it's been a long progression since those days, you know, but don't be afraid to ask questions. You realize that people are more generous with their time than you think they are. And people are more generous with their knowledge too. All you have to do is ask that you don't know. Cause a lot of people love mentoring the new people and the new generation.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice, man. And, you know, we're going to link all that stuff up so you can, I know you host RIAs and stuff like that in your local area. So if there's anybody in the Bay Area or even like outside of that, I'm sure you're going to probably set your groundwork there too. So I'll post that up, man. I think a lot of people can definitely get a lot of value out of you, even if they're just starting out or even if they're kind of in the midst of it, right? I mean, they got like one or two properties or something like that.
Yeah.
They can definitely get to the next level with these meetups, I think. I just truly believe in the power of networking, the power of like relationships. I think it's so super important. So that's awesome, man. You know, like you talk about networking. So like, I want to dive deeper into that because it's so underutilized. I think a lot of people get afraid of these in-person meetups. And so like, you know, how do people, I guess, get over the fact that, you know, they're newbies and they just, maybe they're a little bit awkward or maybe how, like, how do they get into this realm without feeling overwhelmed and scared and pressured to do something right away?
It's scary. I'm not gonna lie, you know, but the thing is like, the more people you meet, you keep going to real estate meetups, you're going to realize that a lot of people come and go. Like there's some people you only meet once that you only meet once, you know? So with that being said, it's like, there's no reason to be scared because every single meetup, when you meet new people, it's a great chance to reset for yourself and a great chance to learn what you made, what mistakes you made last time, you know? And the biggest thing is getting over your fears. It's just when you talk to people, you realize there's nothing to be scared of. They're just like you. They have the same questions as you, you know? Or try to remind them that when they first started, they were once in your spot. And when you find that you find that connection that you both have something in common, it's a lot easier to have the conversation that you just want to learn. And you show that you're authentic and you show that you're willing to learn. You're not just there as a taker, you know, you're there as a giver. And you're there to provide value to them in any way possible. Because some of these people that come out to these real estate meetups who are experienced are looking for inspiration themselves. And a lot of times people get better at what they do by teaching people how to do certain things. Mm. In essence, you are creating a win-win situation for everyone you talk to.
That's such a great point, man. And these are angles that, like, I guess people don't really think about when they go to these events. They're just like, oh, how do I, you know, add value to people when I don't have anything? And they don't realize that even just asking questions, like paying attention, being honestly, like, engaged with what they have to teach is like, you're adding value to that person already. You know, and simple things are just following them on social media, interacting with their posts, like get in their network and just kind of, I guess, get used to their vibe and stuff like that. But you did mention something really important, which is that people come and go. And so like, have you ever had something where, I guess, somebody overpromised on something and then kind of went south and then you just left there kind of like, what the hell? So do you have to drive new boundaries with that? Or do you just kind of like, just roll with the punches?
I'm the type of person that rolls the punches, you know, because I feel that, you know, as you're working with more people, you realize that there's a lot of things that you don't have in common, or they're not the person they say they are. But for me, is I always have to be able to plan for the worst when I partner with people. It's like, if we agree that it's going to be 50K between us, I would always add at least 20 more thousand just in case this person doesn't execute in time. it's just how business works in general. It helps you sleep better at night too, because you're a type of person that thinks about all the details and you lose sleep over $1 or $2 or $50. Like, you're not going to be able to make it in real estate that far, because anything you do in life, not even real estate, is a level of uncertainty that won't meet your expectation, you know? You always rather set your expectations kind of low and get blown up by the results. And that way you don't lose sleep. I used to be the type of person that does lose sleep. And, oh my God, I'm losing $50 to $100 a day. I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, until I set my mindset bigger. I'm like, okay, like, I have a buffer now. If I lose X amount and then make it back, then I can still sleep at night and I can still make more deals. So I don't focus on my mental power, focus on this bad deal that doesn't work out.
For sure, man. You gotta like, and that's the thing. Like, I always look at business as a chess game, right? Like, you're always looking at, you know, forward movements or even defensive strategies and things like that. So, I mean, you know, it's always good to pay attention to both angles, right? I think it's great to even just touch upon that, because I think a lot of people do get that confused a little bit there. So, man, that's awesome. And like your business partner now, like are you guys, so you guys started the business together? Are you guys still partners like till this day with it? Or how did that structure look?
So it's a little bit different now because he's more, I would say he's a big time player. You know, he's too big time for me.
That's a good thing to have him in your squad though.
Yeah. So he does more flips than I do. I focus more on buy and hold investments now because I realize that, you know, there's value in doing buy and hold because I want to free up my time to do something else. That's always been the goal. I've always been very clear on my goal since the very beginning. I want to get into real estate investing to increase my passive income. You know, so he likes flipping. I like buy and hold apartments. So that partnership still works because he'll send me deals that he knows that I'll like, and I'll send him deals that I know that I like, because like we meet a lot of different people out there, and we can't. So it makes a great way for us to utilize every single deal that comes our way. That's good. You know, otherwise I'll just skip it. And that's terrible. And he skips his, and he's like, "Hey, Brian, this is a great deal for you. It's in your hood. Go ahead and take it." You know, and I'm like, "Oh man, it's a great deal for me, but it's too far for me. So you take that one." You create a dynamic that we have together.
Yeah, no, that's dope, and I think that's cool because I mean, you know, you should have never burn bridges. I think, right? I mean, as healthy as possible, even if it is your friend and you guys decide to go separate ways, I think burning bridges is just a bad thing all the time. And so, unless it's like obvious that it's toxic, but. No, that's dope, man. And so, okay, let's get into your girlfriend. You guys are kind of like in this power couple dynamic that I want to explore a little bit. So how long have you guys met, and did you guys meet through real estate investing, or how did you guys meet?
So we met online. We met through Coffee Meets Bagel. She was
That's not common, man. I mean, at this day, this is how we're dating nowadays, right? So
yeah,
if you're not using online dating, I think you're falling behind. So I'll just have to say.
According to her, I was the only guy that met all her criteria after like the 23rd date. And I was like, "Damn, girl, you went 23 dates for me. How do you have so much time?"
So, girls have it easy. I'm telling you right now, girls have it easy. Like they get their choice, obviously. But no, she's good. She's patient. She was waiting. She knew what she wanted in her man. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You guys met online, and then where would you guys go for your first date?
So our first date, we ate ramen. So nice. I eat ramen in the city. Ramen is my most favorite meal. Like, you ask all my friends, I always pick ramen. I eat it when I'm hungover. I eat it when I'm happy. Eat it when I'm having a bad day to cheer me up. And then her first suggestion is that she wanted to go to the sushi restaurant. I looked at Yelp. I'm like, man, it's kind of expensive. I don't even know this girl. You know? So I steered it over to ramen because I knew it was going to be affordable. If the date went really bad, I still had ramen to eat.
Mitigate losses, man.
Exactly.
In the business world and in the relationship world.
Mitigate the risk, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, I feel you on everything you said there. I mean, you know, online dating is that thing. Like, I guess, like, I'm just going to add my two bits. Like, online dating is that thing about, you know, just it's about really just volume. And obviously if you're taking girls out on their first date to like really, really expensive places, like you better have deep pockets if you're ready to find that person who, because you're gonna have to go on a lot of first dates. And you know, the strategy for men, I think, is always like, you know, keep it low-key, like coffee, drinks, you know, small dinner like ramen, like some appies or whatever, like that's ideal, right? So for guys, I'm saying. Women are just like, no, let's go to this hot new place over here. Like, it's all for the gram. You know? So, no, I feel that.
That's true.
So you guys met on Coffee Meets Bagel, went on your first date. How long has it been that you guys been dating for?
Almost 3 years now.
Holy shit, man. Okay, so you guys have been together for a long time. And then, so you're obviously invested in things like that. So what was she doing when you guys met? Like, was she involved in real estate as well? Or
She wasn't. She wasn't involved in real estate or anything like that. But what I like about our conversation is that she had really big dreams and big aspirations that she wanted to accomplish. And at that time, I was 1 or 2 years into real estate already, so I kind of knew what I was doing. And I told her, like, you dream so big, like, and you're so driven and motivated. Let me help you out, you know? So I kind of got her into, like, real estate staging, we started staging houses together. We started that company first. That kind of helped us understand how to work with each other, understood like what her weakness was and what my weakness was. And we realized that I tend to move at 100 miles per hour. I move really quick. I have an idea, execute immediately. Mm-hmm. It's like my speed bump. You know, she's like, wait, slow down. Are you doing this right? Are you thinking about the consequences? You know, do you have enough bandwidth and resources to execute? So she's like, always keeps me in check.
Yeah.
She knows for a fact that I tend to overload myself. This one time I did 5 real estate projects at the same time. I'm just like, why do you keep saying yes to everything? God damn it.
How fast into your relationship did you guys decide that you're going to build a company together?
It's about a year in.
Okay. So you guys were vetting each other obviously beforehand. It wasn't just like something you guys jumped right
in. Yeah.
That's dope, man. Like a lot of women come to me a lot nowadays. They love the power couple dynamic, right? They love the idea of wanting to build something with their partner, right? And so, I mean, obviously, there's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be all roses and unicorns and rainbows, right? So, like, talk to us a little bit about, like, a hardship that you guys faced. And you don't have to go into details or anything, but, like, mm-hmm. what was, like, a hurdle that you guys faced in that, and how did you guys overcome that?
Definitely. For her, the first hurdle we ever faced that I realized is that she has a lot of analysis paralysis, where she's the type of person that would overthink a lot. She's like, I don't know if I can do this. And it took a lot of talking to her on a normal basis to help her realize that she does have the power to do this. And through that, it's like we started building really good habits that we have together. We both write our goals down every single morning before we start our day. We both make sure that our vision is still aligned. What do we want in life? What are we grateful for? How are we going to execute? You know? And this whole process took between 4 to 5 months for me to prep her to get to the next level, to get over her analysis paralysis. So that's probably the first hurdle that we faced. Mm-hmm. And we worked together to overcome it. You know, like it's a little bit frustrating sometimes because you have to think back to your position. You know, like when you first started, you had a lot of analysis paralysis too, because a lot of uncertainty. So you have to remember to stay patient, because I think after the third month, I was just going crazy. I'm like, come on, girl, do something. Once now.
Oh, that's good, though. And as part as a, you know, being a man, too, like you kind of drive the boat, but you don't force it, right? Like she's like, I mean, I when I coach and I tell people, like, you know, done is better than perfect. I mean, that there's so much meaning to that, because there's so many layers that this person has to go through before they can get to that stage and point where they're like, you know what? Okay, done is better than perfect, you know, and they'll agree with you, but it's just, there's just so many layers to that. And I think what's important to note there was the patience that you expressed during that. Because a lot of people will give up. They'll just throw up their hands and be like, you know what, F this, it's not, you're not gonna step up and things like that. So that's great, man. I love that. What are things that people ask you guys a lot about, like as a couple, when they come to you? What are some questions that they approach you with?
They always ask me, is starting a business with Maggie a great idea? You know, they always ask me that question. It's like, would you rather do it by yourself? And I always tell them that I'm really grateful that she's my partner, because, you know, sometimes we're very social situations or very stressful situations where it both happens at the same time, you know? It's like you're meeting an important person that you need to build a relationship with, but you get like a fire in your phone, you're like, oh crap, I need to go deal with this with my team. I need to solve this problem. And immediately I look over at Maggie, and she knows exactly what I'm thinking in my head. And she takes her phone out, she goes to the restroom quick, she deals with it for me without me saying a single word. You know, so we have this like psychic powers going on, like a full conversation that she knows exactly what I'm thinking. And I think that's important, you know, for a business partner, because I don't think that I had that kind of relationship with any of my other real estate business partner besides Maggie, that I can look over to them and be like, yo, man, we have a huge problem that I can't move from my spot right now, but I need you to solve.
And like, she's already on board and she's like, I already know, Brian, look, it's okay.
She knows I have this concerned look on my face. Yeah, I'm trying to smile at the same time. Like, what's going on, man?
And I have instances of my past relationships where, you know, you vibe so high where that it's just a subtle little facial tick where you're just like,
yeah,
okay, I have to go over there now, you know? And I find, like, it's so crazy. Like, I was just talking about energies last night with a friend, and it's so crazy how like when you become enmeshed with each other, enmeshed in a healthy way, not enmeshed in the psychological sense where like mm-hmm. you can't get away from each other, but I mean enmeshed in a good way where like our energies are combined, we feel we're vibing on a really high level, we can feel each other's energies and we can understand without even communicating, like you said, mm-hmm. without even talking. But then you guys have your own space. It's like, do you guys still have your own like things that you do as your own? Like, does she have her girls' night out? Do you have like your boys' night out? Like, is that something that you guys incorporate into your relationship, or how does that dynamic work out?
Yeah, so I like to give her space a lot, you know, whatever she wants to do. Like, she has a girl's night, I'll go ahead, you know. For me, I do enjoy a lot of time by myself too, so I don't mind. And for her, she does too. And that's how we keep the healthy relationship together, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, have to have her own space, her own group of friends, her own thoughts. Can't just be thinking together about business all the time or relationship all the time. That's not healthy, you know. You want a well-balanced life.
So what are some tricks for people who are maybe in that power couple dynamic, they're trying to figure it out? And I know, I guess obviously scheduling date night is pretty, I guess, but I mean, like, what are some things? I mean, you talked about balance. So like that was a key word. And I think like, how do you project that into your relationship, and how do you keep up with that in terms Definitely. Of when things get too stressful or whatever?
Definitely. When things get stressful, it just means that things are not aligned anymore. You know, you have to find out like what's out of place, what's taking too much of your time, what's taking up too much mental capacity. And once you find out that what's not aligned, maybe, oh, this week I have extra work, or this week I had this extra fire. When you solve these aligns, like when you solve the problem to be more aligned, like you're going to find that those problems can be solvable with each other, you know? And that's one of the tips that I have is, you always have to maintain communication with your significant other, especially with Maggie. That's the only reason why we fight or we bicker, is because we're not understanding where we're coming from anymore. Mm. So you have to be very clear with what your goals are and what you plan to do that week. For us, we have our Google Calendar merged together. So I can see like what she scheduled that day, who she's talking to, who she's meeting. So there's a high level of trust with us, in the sense that we both have a strong communication to know what we're doing that day, who we're talking to, what we're doing. So it creates a sense of balance and trust, you know? Because if I were to go out and do all my business meetings without her knowing who I'm talking to, what is she gonna think? She's gonna think I'm cheating on her, mm-hmm. you know? But for me, it's like I'm too super transparent, like whatever you need to know, it's on my calendar. And usually when we get home, when we eat dinner, when we talk together, I'm like, hey, so-and-so, I met so-and-so today. I learned X from so-and-so, I think that's a great value for you to learn too. And she does the same for me. We're always creating this dynamic where we're both constantly growing together and meeting different people.
Yeah, I love that. And even those daily check-ins, like you mentioned, where you guys are, you know, obviously expressing gratitude for each other, but actually just checking in to see if we're in alignment. Like, what are our goals? What are our intentions for the week or the day mm-hmm. or whatever? Yeah, I think that's really awesome for anybody listening in. All right, you power couple people. All right, that's our segment for that. But I really wanted to dive in on this where we met. And I think this group, it took a life of its own. And man, and I know you're still probably running high off the fumes that this engine has been just producing for you guys. So let's talk about it. It's called the Asian Hustle Network. What was the intention with that, and how did that come into fruition?
Definitely. So the intention with that is to be able to create a community where we can uplift each other, be very positive, and share our stories, you know. And this whole idea started because I started my real estate meetups, and I was thinking to myself, if I could bring together like 1,000 people, or yeah, my real estate meetup grew up to 1,000-2,000 people in 1 year in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I was thinking to myself, if I could bring together people of different age backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds to work together without any shady activities and just genuinely want to help each other, then I want to try bringing that to the Asian community. And around April 2019 of last year, I started to have these thoughts that I want to create something more, you know? So at the same time, I didn't know what that was. Like I was telling Maggie constantly during our alignment talks. I'm like, hey, I want to do something bigger. And she's like, what else do you want to do? You're doing big things already. I'm like, I want to do something bigger, So I told her, and I kind of planted the seeds for us going to Japan. So when we went to Japan, I was searching for inspiration. At that time, I felt like my life was kind of bland. You know, I did real estate investing. I had passive income. I had a little bit more free time than I thought. So I had time to really reflect and think about what really mattered to me. Mm. Went to Japan for inspiration. Literally, we brought like a notebook for inspiration, like on a vacation with a notebook, you know? So we ended up going to the Meiji Shrine in Tokyo. And while we were there, we saw tablets on a wall where people would write their stories. And I was there for 2-3 hours during this vacation, just reading everyone's story around the world. They would share stories about their personal lives, their relationships, what their goals are, their dreams are. And these are people all over the world, and they're sharing their story, you know? And they're just putting their name on there, too. So I thought that was pretty awesome, you know? So immediately I wrote that down. And then when I came back, I was trying to find things similar online. So I ended up finding like pages like Humans in New York. I started subscribing to CNN's Great Big Story, where they did entrepreneurial recaps. Just inspirational stories that I thought to myself that, hey, like I want to bring this to the Asian community. And when I was looking online to do something similar, like, to do this, I realized the Asian community is very segmented. You know, like I found a Korean community, I found a Vietnamese community, I found a Chinese community, but there's no Asian community. And at the same time, I was talking to one of my Jewish friends. I'm like, hey, how is the Jewish community? And he was like, dude, it's great. Like, we have so much network to help each other. We have a Jewish fund. We have everything to, they have all the foundations and structures set in place to help each other. And I was thinking to myself, dude, we don't have any of that in the Asian community. Like, nothing. Like, we are so segmented. It's crazy. You know,
it's so true, man. And it's funny that you mentioned your Jewish friend, because my mentor is Jewish, and you know, everything I need to know about money and networking connections and things like that, I learned from my Jewish mentor. Like there's no one in the Asian community like teaching us how to make money like properly, mm-hmm. like the way that, you know, the people who came before us did it. Mm-hmm. And you know, just how do we meld that information with our new age technology? And I think that's what you kind of wrapped your head around when you went to Japan. And mm-hmm. I've never been to Japan, but I love their culture. Man, I shouldn't be saying this. Like, my parents, if they heard this, they'd be like, oh, you're a disgrace because I'm Korean, right? But I mean, like, Japan has, their culture is very demanding on their citizens in terms of like being perfect or the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And it's always striving for this, I guess we can call it greatness. I mean, that's what we consider greatness here. But being like aligned so much to the fact that you're just so submersed into the very thing that's going to make your dent in the universe, so to say. Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing. So you went to Japan, came back, you had this, I guess, aha moment. And then what, you just put the pen to paper, you just open up this group, and then was just like, okay, let me invite all the Asian people that I know, and then get mm-hmm. them to invite all the Asian people they know.
Yeah.
And then that's just how it kind of came to.
Yeah, sort of. When I came back to the States, I didn't know about Facebook groups. I'll be honest. I didn't know any about it, but at the same time, I got invited to this group called Subtle Asian Traits. And I was like, wait, Facebook has groups? Okay, cool. I didn't think much of it, you know? It wasn't until like September, October that my friends around me started creating Facebook communities. I'm like, oh wait, like Facebook has groups, like let's do something, you know? And at first I was very hesitant. I didn't want to create this Facebook group because I was afraid to be read in the public's eye. You know, just to give you like some perspective, people are liking my pictures from 6-7 years ago. Like, dude, you guys are digging deep, man. You know, just really want to see who I am, you know?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I knew this would happen, so I was really nervous. Because at the same time, we were setting the infrastructure in place for us to grow quickly. So we had like a lot of ideas, like legal structure, LLC, everything in place already before like we create the group, because we were like, what if it grows up, what if it blows up big? We need to be ready, you know? And thank God that during the planning stages, we were already thinking that big. So when we're experiencing massive growth from now, the reason that we can throw so many events, like 70 events in 1 month, and like fundraise and do all that stuff, because we thought about it at the very beginning. You know, like we knew this is gonna, well, we didn't know. We hoped this is gonna happen, and it did. And the fact that we planned for it helped us grow even faster and be able to throw these events together and fundraise and all that. We have a legal team now, which is awesome, you know? And this is all like thinking big at the very beginning, because you never know.
No, I love that, man. And congratulations, by the way. Like, I have been in Facebook groups for the last like 3 years, and mm-hmm. I've only amassed maybe like 3,300 men in my group right now. So big shout out to you, man. Like, you're definitely impacting a lot of people. You struck a chord for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, and I love hearing all the stories of the people that you brought together, like all the people that are coming in there, man. Like, their stories are freaking incredible. Like, mm-hmm. it just goes to show that a lot of Asians out there, we put our head down and we work hard, and we don't really go for the gratitude or the glory. We're actually there to, like, create, I guess, new generational wealth for the people that are coming through, because our parents lived such, I guess, a pretty hectic life, so to say. I mean, mine wasn't as bad because, well, they were going through a civil war in Korea as well, just as much as like Vietnam was going through, and so like they were trying to get away from that. But I think in comparison, like the Vietnam ordeal was a lot bigger than what was going on in North Korea, and so yeah, it was quite the struggle. And so when we witness our parents go through that kind of thing, you're just like, you know, I hope that all the Asians coming up, like now, we can instill that value into them and say, like,
agreed.
You don't have to live the same generational type of life that your parents have gone through, right? Like, you can kind of bust out of that, right? Yeah. Freaking love that, man. And, you know, I'm excited to see, like, all the new things that you're going to create with that. So what's coming up with that? Are you guys doing meetups and just meetups, gatherings, and then like, what are the intentions behind all that? So how can people get involved is the bigger question.
Yeah, so we realized that hosting meetups in every single city is not scalable in our time because there's only one of us flying around the world. So we want to host annual conference towards the end of the year or early next year, and that way we can have people around the world fly in, and it'll help create a level of consistency for people who want to learn more about Asian Hustle Network, you know? That way it also frees up our time to work in Asian Hustle Network, because we want to be able to create these production videos that will highlight entrepreneurs around the world. Because we want to show that these big successful people are just like us.
Yeah, kind of like Goldcast, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Goldcast videos?
Yeah, very similar.
Dope, super viral because, you know, people want to share that, especially like, yeah. Like success stories and like people like started from the bottom, kind of, you know, now that we're here. And so like a lot of the Asian culture stories that I hear from the Asian culture that they came over and immigrated, it sounds a lot like that. Like
yeah,
start from the bottom, right? A lot of us did. So this is awesome. I love how we are creating this network, I guess, because, you know, I don't want to compare, but I'm gonna you know, a lot of, you know, African Americans in the States, the reason why they are so powerful as a collective is because they network with each other, they group together. Yeah, they have beef with each other, but, you know, I'm sure Asians have beef with each other too. But there was, like you said, there was no network where the Asians came together and started to celebrate each other's, you know, I guess, accomplishments or you know, help growing us to the next step, I guess, because living in America is pretty tough, right? I mean, growing up for me, I was faced with a lot of racism. I don't know if you grew up with that, but growing up in Toronto, Canada, it was like I was the only Asian kid in my class. It was very, very confusing time for me, you know, and so I'm sure a lot of other guys are going through that, no? And so
yeah,
that's great. So I'm going to link that up in the description so people can get a hold of that and get into the network. If I didn't already invite you in, I'm sorry. It's just I'm a busy guy too, right? So I was trying to just invite people that I knew that were right there at the top. So anyway, if I didn't invite you in, definitely join the network. It's going to be a great place to share stories, network, and meet other like-minded individuals who are kind of like on the same plane as you. So that's dope, man. So meetups, collaborations that you're working on, so people can get in touch with you through Facebook, I guess, is the best way, or?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram. I'll give you all the information for the show notes.
Okay, all right, dope. And so we got a little bit more time here, and I want to dive in on, you know, just the things that you've learned along that journey in terms of how it helps your relationships now. Like, and you don't have to talk about Maggie or anything, but the things that you've learned that help your I guess your networking skills or even just your bond with your family, you know, how has that all impacted you now as you've come, like, you know, to a point where you're like, man, I'm pretty content with life right now, and I'm pretty happy with where it's going. So now that you've had that kind of awareness, like what are some reflections that you've had?
Definitely. I realized that everything is a journey, you know, is that you can't expect results immediately. And on the journey, you're going to have your highs and you're going to have your lows. And you have to be able to push through them and find the inner motivation to just enjoy everything that comes your way. You know, like starting Asian Hustle Network, everyone thinks it's all uphill trajectory, but it's really not. You know, you deal with a lot of people that you don't usually deal on a normal basis that come to you at all different angles, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, why did you reject my pose? And you get a lot of weird posts, you get a lot of angry messages as well as the good ones. So I made sure that, you know, I tried to enjoy the ride. You meet a lot of incidents that really question our own character. Like what do we do? If someone came to you and be like, oh, it's sexual harassment, or this person did shady activity, like how would you handle that as the person, you know? And for us, we decided the best way to handle these types of issues is just be transparent with the community. But I heard a lot of people in the past who try to hide it in their own community, but we're not like that at all. Like, good or bad, we're going to roll the blows. And those blows hurt, you know? Like, you see all these negative comments on it because you know that you have to stay transparent to your community because you're not doing them any justice by hiding it. So you got to roll the blows. The odds to hide are just as great, you know? Like, people come to you, hey, man, you totally changed my life. I come on your group every single morning as a source of motivation. You helped me do this business deal in the last 3 months. I had one member told me that he opened up 3 restaurants in 3 months since I started the group.
Oh, man.
It's just the power of the network in general that are helping people. And at the same time, like, I never quite asked for anything in return. Like, all my events I hold so far is free. In fact, I'm actually in a negative for paying for all these events out of my own pocket, you know, because I believe in the bigger vision.
Yeah.
But I would appreciate some support from the community, please. Going broke.
For sure. Yeah, guys, come on, man. Like, you guys are all balling. Like, throw some money in his Patreon or something. Venmo his account. We're gonna put that in there. Your
it's all about the bigger vision and helping people and just enjoying the journey. You know, like, people that you get to meet and talk to that you idolized growing up are now within reach. And you realize that we all are separated by 1 degree person, you know, like, whoever you want to meet, someone else knows them, and you just have to put yourself out there to learn more and just enjoy the journey.
Dude, man, I wish, like, this kind of network was around when I was first starting out. Like, I think it would have, you know, I haven't really leveraged the tools of the group yet, and I'm sure there will be a chance for me to do that at some point, but you know, if this group was around, like I said, like maybe even 1 year ago, it would have definitely catapulted a lot of things, you know, for me. So even for anybody, I think, and like you said, the guy came in, opened 3 restaurants in 3 months just by networking in there, just by meeting people in there, right? And so, and I think that's kind of like the future now is we're going to be coming into these, like, I guess, silos of information, let's say, and we're going to be coming in there and I guess sharing all kinds of things that's related to that community, right? So, like, Asians do go through a lot, but, you know, with a community like this, I think, you know, we can kind of go through or break down a lot of those barriers that kind of face in our respective markets, whatever industry that we decide that we're going to go into. Mm-hmm. So that's dope, man.
We also find out what by people sharing their stories. So no matter what culture you're in, we all have pretty much similar upbringings. You know, that's super reassuring to know that we're all the same. Like, belief, like, we're all the same. Like, we're here, similar background, similar culture, similar, you know, traditions that we have a lot in common than what we think.
For sure, man. And, you know, I appreciate everything that you're doing. And I will just mention this, that, like, you're even though you may be in the red in terms of, like, your pockets, like, the money, I think the social currency that you have, like, that value that you have is worth more than, I think, like, triple than, I think, what you've invested. You know, because I think if you go and knock on any door at this point, people have a lot of respect for you coming in just because, you know, what you're creating so much value for the world, like, so much social currency for people, not just for yourself, but for other people. So I think, you know, that's something to be said as well for you. And, you know, I hope everything works out for you, man. Like, I really do genuinely wish everything works out for you, man, because just getting to know you in these last like hour, talking with you, like you said, we have a lot of things in common, but like just getting to know you, I feel like your energy and your passion and your inspiration to, you know, bring good into this world. So I really truly wish all the best for you, man. And I'm encouraging everybody else to definitely get in on this as well. If you're Asian listening in, right? But if you're not, then, you know, don't worry. He gave a lot of golden nuggets here. I'm going to probably clip and share with you guys too as well. So that's awesome, dude. I'm going to wrap this up with a question that I ask all my guests at the very end of every episode. And it's because a lot of my guests come find me, at the end of a relationship or divorce, separation, just basically a major heartbreak. And, you know, heartbreak doesn't have to come in the form of a relationship. Sometimes it comes in the form of somebody close to us dying, or even bankruptcy. Like, that's pretty heartbreaking when a guy or girl is backed up against the wall and you have to declare bankruptcy. So heartbreaking situations, I'm sure you've been in them. If somebody else is in that kind of situation, what would you say to that person to bring them out of a dark place?
Oh man, that's really tough, right? Because everyone has different ways of solving their problems. The best thing you can do as a friend is just give them space and give them time to think about stuff. And to uplift them, you have to be telling them that, hey, like, keep your chin up, you can do it. Life is a journey. I tend to give my friend a lot of space because I know how sensitive that kind of situation is. And most people around our age right now, like, they kind of know how to solve their own problem. All you have to do is remind them to be positive, you know, keep your chin up, you can do it, you know, and have that trust in them and not be overly bearing with advice. Like, oh my God, you got to do this and that, you know. No one likes to hear that stuff when you're feeling depressed. People like to hear stuff like, hey, keep your chin up. I know what you're capable of doing. I trust you. And by having the trust and positivity, they're going to find their way out. And when they do, like, just be there for them again when you're ready to talk.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Love that. All right, that's a wrap, folks. All right, that's it. Make sure you guys subscribe. I'll see you guys on the flip side.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother.
Definitely, bro.